Hello everyone, this is your favorite voice of business psychology. I am your host, Kritika Kashyap, a management psychologist. On today's episode, we have a powerhouse of knowledge, Vidya. With a staggering 18 plus years as a learning and development master, she is currently steering the ship of leadership learning. And her accolades, well, they speak louder than words. As an avid reader and traveler, her multilingual prowess and award-winning facilitation are a testament. In this episode, Vidya breaks down the evolution of learning, the trends shaping our future, and gives a riveting explanation of the 70-20-10 learning format. Trust me, you have never heard it this way. With a surge in health, well-being coaching programs in corporates, Vidya sheds light on how continuous learning is more crucial than ever. It's just part one. Stay tuned because we are just getting started with Vidya's journey.
Hi Vidya, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast Psych and Success, the Gen Z edition.
Thank you Kritika for inviting me to your podcast. It's a pleasure being your guest here and spending some quality time together and really unravel the topics that you have for me today.
When I first connected to you, the conversation that we had had was so, first of all, was so intriguing for me. And I could sense the passion that you have for your work, for learning and development industry, that it was coming through your words. And I had loved it. And since that day, I knew that I had to stay connected with you and learn more and more from you. So I'm glad that you're here. And I know your background, a lot about you with all your experience. Why don't you tell the audience about your experience and introduce yourself?
So I'll probably start with my name and a bit around the reason behind this name and how it comes to life. So when I was born way back, of course, I'm not going to tell you my age here and the year I was born.
Okay.
My parents probably never thought that after years together to come, I would be living a life with the name that I was given. So when I say my name is Vidya, I never realized I will get into a space called learning and development, which is again a synonym to my name. So a lot of times, in fact, people said this and I was like, oh, really? It's so true. So in terms of my work experience, I've been in the space of learning and development for about 18 years. Right. And it has been an amazing journey. Something interesting I also would like to add on as part of my introduction here is, for me, 18 years back, this profession started just out of a passion.
Wow, okay. You were lucky.
Absolutely, yes. And I never realized that I'm going to take it a long way. So from a passion, it became a profession.
In your personality, even when every time I talk to you, even before we were talking, before this podcast, it was just so much. I was just in awe and just keenly listening to every word that you had been saying. And that, again, has been so insightful for me. So that gets us to our question on, you know, how did you end up in learning and development? What was your career journey? And since you have 2 decades of experience already, that is a really rich experience. So would you want to tell us something about that?
And that's an interesting story to really talk about. So let me just kind of give you a glimpse of it. So it was way back in 2005, when I happened to be part of an interview process, and it was during my graduation days when I was still in my final year. And as part of some kind of an exposure, the dean of our college said, while we have placements happening for the postgraduate students, it would be really a nice opportunity for graduates who are interested, the undergrads at that time, if you're interested, go ahead and apply for the interview and just get an exposure. So in the name of exposure, some people were excited and I was one amongst them. So we had a batch of 120 people, out of which close to about 20 to 30 people showed up interest.
Okay.
And then there were people from the MBA HR stream who were also lined up for interview. And the interviews happened while we appeared for it. I mean, as an exposure, I never knew that this is going to create a history for me, or that's going to be the beginning of my work life. I was the first undergrad from my college to get campus placed till today.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And you know how you always, because people in their, when they hit their mid age and everything, they hit midlife crisis and then they realize that they never wanted to do what they're already doing, what they've already spent decades on. And it's so, so refreshing to see that you started off with something that you are already passionate about and you have been growing immensely since then. You have almost two decades of experience. Why don't you tell us about how have you seen the learning and development industry growing and changing? Because the world has been changing so, so swiftly lately. The technology coming, AI coming, COVID hitting, and then the younger generation coming into the workplace. You must have seen a drastic change throughout.
I think I completely agree to your point that the learning landscape has changed. And I would say it's also changing.
Right.
It hasn't really stopped.
Yeah.
While something started as an evolution has actually become a revolution now.
Okay, how do you say that?
And why do I say this, or how do I say this is, if we go back to the way we consumed an information, the way we were taught in schools, in colleges, we had this one person and we had a bunch of people there. And then there's this one-way conversation that used to happen. So if I were to go to the medieval and the mythological world of India,
Yeah. We
came from a Gurukul system studying.
Yeah.
Whereas this one person who's standing there and imparting you knowledge was considered to be the guru and was the person who would possess all the knowledge that is required about a particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we look at it now, we don't have to really stick to one guru.
Yeah.
You have multiple options through which you can get learning. And I think thanks to technology, I look at it more like a friend, because with that, with the advent of technology, with the advent of digital transformation that has taken place, everything has become so accessible. So I can sit here in my room,
Yeah. In
a city like New Delhi, and I can probably get learnings from somebody who is across borders for me, somebody who is sitting in a different part of the world altogether, and that too at my own convenience of time zone. So I really don't have to go anywhere and search for people. So you can get the best of the worlds coming to your door now.
Absolutely.
With the digital transformation. I also underwent two different courses, again, as part of my own upskilling and reskilling.
Mm-hmm.
One, a certification from ATD, which is Association of Talent Development based in US,
Okay. A
renowned organization for talent development.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is LPI, which is Learning Performance Institute, UK.
Okay, all right.
So I went through two certifications from these two organizations, and that also helped me change complete perspectives, because I was sitting in Delhi speaking to an instructor who was in a different time zone, a different country, and sharing the concept. Plus, I was interacting with a bunch of people across the globe, which also helped me with that richness of the experience that I was able to gather.
Mm. Because absolutely, I am completely on it with you. Because once you get out of your own, like you understand somebody else's perspective, because people who have been from different countries, they have had their own set of experience. The culture of their environment defines how they have been working, how they have been perceiving, learning as well. And when we get out of ourselves and our own environment, there's so much that we learn and we can inculcate from their understanding and their perspective of things, that how can we make things better for ourselves. And then that is how we say that we have become a global citizen. And COVID has definitely helped all of us to do that. We have, as a globe, we have come so much closer. So, and what do you think about, like, the younger generation who are coming into the learning industry or who are coming into corporates as well, about how have they affected the learning industry, or the learning industry have affected them? What are their expectations have been from the corporates and from the learning department?
A very nice and very apt question at this point of time, when things are really kind of changing. So I think it's both, I would say. It is the consumer who drives the market and vice versa. I think that's how the ecosystem works.
Right.
When you have a product, you also have a customer. And when the customer is there, you tend to win. So it's a game of demand and supply. Absolutely right. So when I talk about the learning landscape changing, different generations coming together, I think one of the things that I have been constantly hearing is, with all this happening, we really need to now look at how the future is going to look like. Because now is actually that time wherein you have a combination of generations working together.
That's true.
Which means we have people who probably were the baby boomers' time, which is our pre-independence era, to people who were born with a gadget in hand.
Right, yes.
So the world has gone through so much of transformation, and now everybody, if you look at it, is driven by the technology around.
Yeah.
However, one of the things that we constantly need to remember is that everything boils down to experience.
That is true. Absolutely.
And that experience can come with in-person connects, in-person learning. It can also come through technology. However, the bridge between both is, how do you enable that technology to work for you?
Right. So when you talk about experience and younger generation being at work, because they are coming with, of course, I mean, because they are young, they have limited experience in the corporate world or in life as well. But then, because they are so keen into learning, they are very passionate about be it courses or whatever their place of work is, they've learned and inculcated a lot of skills in themselves. And they're definitely, you know, when we see the corporate world, they have new perspectives, new ideas towards things that they bring to the table, and they want corporates to really embrace those changes. So how do you think that, even I was listening to one of the podcasts again by Simon Sinek, and he also opened my mind through this example that, you know, that in an organization, when a younger generation person came in and he said that, you know, I'm working exactly as hard and as much, and getting the business as much a person with a 10 years or veteran that is getting. So why are you paying me less? That is unfair. And on the face of it, it does look unfair, you know, if they're getting the same sort of business. And in response, the corporate, the employer said that, you know, the veteran has gone through a lot of ups and downs with the company. He has seen the company go through shocks, go through turmoils, and I know that the person is ready for to take those turmoils. I know that he or she is loyal, first thing, and is capable enough to rise through that. I do not know if you are, because you have not shown that. I do not know if you have the capability, you have the experience. So that was very eye-opening for me. So what do you think about it, and how do you see younger professionals being passionate about their work and being, you know, asking for unbiasedness and fair treatment, and the also, you know, ageism that comes in picture, that, you know, as a younger generation, I'm skilled enough to work. I am showing you all the results. I have my own ideas and perspective. So what do you think about that?
I think when we talk about younger generation or older generation, I think it's a creation of our own mind, I would say.
Okay.
And why I say this is that if you look at the word generation, not everybody born in that particular time period will have the same characteristics. So there'll always be a mix and match.
Absolutely.
So it is pretty individual specific to really say that, okay, this generation is like this. Because every person, based on their upbringing, their experiences that they've had in their life, the value systems that were inculcated in them, the kind of company, the surroundings that they were raised in, all this shapes up an individual. And generation 100% does not have to do anything about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because as we see, every generation or every time there's a shift in generation, there is a change that takes place.
So how do you see, you know, evolving, be it technology, be it evolving equipment, although you have mentioned that, you know, the world is really small now, I can connect instantly with everybody. Do you think that, because as you mentioned, that there is always a downside as well, there is a circle. Do you think, have you seen the downside of that in the learning department?
I think, I wouldn't say it's a downside. Rather, I would say it's time for reskilling and upskilling ourselves. It's time to reimagine ourselves.
Okay.
And I'll share with you something interesting I was reading the other day. So as per the LinkedIn report 2023, it said that the required skill set for modern work has really changed by 25% since 2015.
Okay.
And it is expected to double in 2027. So if you look at it, the way we used to operate at some point of time earlier, it is going to change. There were certain jobs that were pretty much people dependent.
Yeah.
With the advent of technology, it can be done faster. I think a classic example is the buzzword these days, ChatGPT.
That is true. It has been such a help to me.
Exactly. And interestingly, with some other set of findings, it was also figured that about 77% of employers are now struggling to really fill these modern roles. Because we don't really know what are these skills like.
Right. That is also like one of things that I learned was about prompt engineering.
Yeah.
So even as an employer, even though you have digged into that, that what it is and how would it be used, but then you really do not know how to evaluate a person in such a skill. And hiring is again like a huge investment. And if hired wrong, a lot of things can go wrong.
Absolutely. And you know, while I was reading this, I came across amazing 9 trends that are going to kind of, you know, be the near future, or probably I think it's already started.
Okay.
And some of these trends I would like to really share with you.
Okay, yes, sir.
So the first one is around organizational agility and continuous learning. So something that worked erstwhile, that, okay, if you have gone into a particular department, you can only grow there. That's not the story today. you have so much of cross-functional skills that have come into place and cross-functional moves that are available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Provided, are you somebody who is willing to make that shift and upskill yourself? Relearn. It's all about unlearn and relearn.
How have you seen in your experience, then, how have you seen how agile employees have been to get into a cross-functional? Because I've heard a lot of companies provide cross-functional. They have some days where you do somebody else's work, you shadow somebody else, and the other person will shadow you and understand each other's work. Have you seen any difference on, let's say, in the multi-generational companies, that are people willing to get into experimentation?
I think when we talk about organizations, I would again say it's not to do with organizations. It is probably to do with individuals. I mean, we have seen, or rather, I have seen individuals who've really taken that bet on people.
Oh, okay. And which employees? Employers have taken the bet on.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly, you know, I would like to share something again from another article that I was reading on CCL, which is Center for Creative Leadership. And as part of that article, what they said, and this is something which has been a debatable topic for a lot of L&D professionals, about the 70-20-10 approach.
Yes.
And what the article actually stated is that people actually learn in this format. Then 10% is also important, 20% is also important, and so is 70%.
So if it is for the audience and the listeners, can you explain what 70-20-10 is?
Sure. So 70% is when you are given that opportunity, a platform to really try out something that you have learned. That is that experimentation, job shadowing that you spoke about, job rotations, wherein you go ahead and take up somebody else's role for some time, live that persona, and then come back. So, and this is where you're actually experiencing what is it like to be in that role.
Okay.
Before that, so before you get into that, there are two other steps that you really need to touch on. Then you come to this 20%, and I'm going, as I said, in the opposite order.
Right.
20% is the coaching and the mentoring bit of it.
Okay.
Wherein you have somebody who has lived this entire scenario, knows what is required in that job, and is able to coach you and mentor you accordingly.
Right, okay.
So is able to help you show how can you navigate.
Right.
And if you are getting stuck, how do you unstuck yourself?
Yeah.
That's where the coaching element comes in primarily.
Right.
Now comes the last part, which is your 10%, which is your formal foundation training.
Yeah.
So I would like to sum this up entire thing in a easier way with an analogy. If I want to be a surgeon, I first need to study MBBS.
Yeah.
And then once I study medicine, I need to practice that a bit.
Right.
And then I choose a specialization that is most suitable for me.
Hmm.
And at the same time, I am keenly interested in. And then I get into that specialization and pursue it further.
Right.
So this is how your 10, 20 and 70 works.
Okay. So just to put it in a concise form, what I understand is 70% is learning and doing on-the-job experiencing.
Exactly.
And 20% is what you learn from the mentorship, the coaches, and that inculcation of knowledge and practicality. And the 10% would be the proper training that you...
The knowledge assimilation that happens.
Okay.
Is that 10%. Because if I don't know the basic foundation, if somebody gives you the tools to operate... You would not be able to do, because you don't know which tool is meant for what. So that basic understanding of things comes with that 10% of basic knowledge. So if I have my conceptual knowledge in place, which is as part of training,
right.
Then I move to the coaches and the mentors to share what I have learned and then add on their experience on this. And then I am sent for the next level, which is the 70%, wherein I have built a prototype.
Right.
Or I have been given a platform to even experiment that I have learned. So that 70% is actually my playground to practice, make mistakes, have experience, and create that lessons learned.
Oh, it actually beautifully sums up what we were talking about earlier, that how, again, younger generation comes with their set of skills and knowledge and the confidence to do stuff and get things done. That is just the 10% of it then. And then comes the coaching and mentorship, which is only, again, the 20%, but there's 70% of it that comes by walking through that journey, taking that journey. So how do you think that, you know, how has that been evolving again? And when I've talked about the younger generation and the older generation again, how have you seen any difference how both the generations have taken this learning, or the 70-20-10 perspective or the method? Have they taken any differently? Or do they have any other sort of expectations from it?
So interestingly, if you look at it, the 70-20-10 still holds to be true.
Mm-hmm.
However, now the way something is consumed is very different.
Okay.
So when we talk about the current generation, that is the Gen Z that we call, right, as a name given.
Yeah.
We know that this particular generation has seen a lot of technology around.
Right.
So, if I'm able to give them something that they find it more accessible and convenient, they will pick that. So, it is like, as I say, different strokes for different folks. So, who needs what? Give them that. And that is where a lot of organizations, in fact, my own organization, we've invested in something called a learning experience platform.
Okay.
You know, so this learning experience platform is going to help individuals to be future ready, learn what they want,
right,
as part of their current role and the future role that they aspire to be, and in a way that they want. If somebody likes reading, you have an article. Somebody likes just viewing a video, a video is there to explain. Somebody wants to get into an experience sharing, you also have options of getting into an experiential learning setup wherein you share your moments and others share about their moments.
Right.
So everybody kind of goes. So if you look at it, this is also using that 70-20-10. And along with this, what also happens is the people who are part of this entire program. So you have coaches and mentors who are assigned as part of this entire landscape or the ecosystem of learning.
Okay.
And they can always be reached out for support.
Oh, right. Yeah. So how has it, because now I've seen in the corporate setups, coaches have a huge relevance, and now companies are even hiring like chief coaching officers. So how, what do you think has changed throughout the era?
I think it's the way each individual wants to learn. And at the same time, as I said earlier, it's becoming more employee-centric. And it's about well-being. And and now, if you see now, more than ever, this has really kind of taken precedence. And this is also one of the trends that we see as part of the LinkedIn report 2023 as one of the trends, that is increase in health and well-being programs across the organization. And that is where a lot of coaches and the concept of coaching is entering the corporate world. And it is through these coaches that an individual is able to really craft out where do they really want to go? What do they really want to do? And it's all about creating those experiences.
I've seen a lot of, you know, older generation, being myself being in the training industry, I've seen them hitting a midlife crisis and getting into a completely different career life. So do you see older generation also as equally involved in coaching or seeking coaching? Or is it mostly the younger generation who are more inclined towards understanding their career, but they should know where they're leading? They should know, they should have a good idea about it.
When we talk about coaching, it has nothing to do with older generation or the newer generation.
Okay.
It is devoid of any generation, first of all. The second thing is, if you look at it, coaching came into the mainstream primarily from the sports world.
Right.
So earlier, coaching as a term was predominantly used in the sports world, primarily, athletics.
Right.
And slowly it started moving to the other areas of life. And now it is also in the corporate, wherein it is predominantly known as exec coaching, leadership coaching, life coaching. You have all these all these types of coaching specialisms. Now, coming back to your question around, you know, how is it only for this generation or that generation? I think it's to do with individual. Every person, and I'm making the statement with a lot of emphasis on this, every person requires a coach or a mentor, irrespective.
Because even if I look back in my career journey, I've had a mentor. His name was Aditya Sisodia, and that is how we connected. And I think that he has been one of the reasons, again, as a mentor, he has been one of the reasons who has the bird view of my what I want and how my career trajectory will happen. And that is why it became a lot more easier, and it became a lot more aware about why am I taking the path that I'm taking and where would it lead next. So definitely, I understand that how important mentors and coaches are.
And you rightly said that, you know, because you have experienced it. And I think our entire conversation here is pivoting or revolving around this word experience. And now is actually the time wherein we've really started giving this a lot of importance. It's all about experience.
And there you have it. Another episode of Psych and Success, packed with insights and real-world advice on business psychology, Gen Z, evolving workplace dynamics, culture, AI, and so much more. If you want to stay ahead of the curve and dig deep into the fabric of modern work, you know what to do. Hit that follow button, share this podcast with your network, and drop us a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps us connect with more inquisitive minds like yours. By the way, if you're looking to get in touch with today's guest, I've got you covered. Check out the description for their contact details. And if you feel inspired to chat directly with me about these compelling subjects, you can book a quick call through my Calendly or shoot me an email. All the links are in the description. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, reminding you that the future of work is here and it's evolving fast. So let's explore it together. Until next time.